Hello, my name is Price Van Ray. I am a divorced single dad, father of five kids. Welcome to my show. Welcome and welcome back, family and friends. So glad you're here. I tell you, the weather here in Massachusetts is getting better. I mean, spring is obviously coming around the corner, and we can all feel it because we can hear the birds singing early in the morning when you wake up, when you're getting ready for work, and it just feels like spring is here. It feels like maybe we'll have one or two more snowstorms. That's about it. But I mean, it's March, and April is just around the corner, and as we know, April showers bring what? May flowers. So that being said, today we're gonna be talking about something that happened to me. I was a speaker at a college, AIC College, and I'm going to get on to that right after the thought of the day. Smile and the world smiles with you. That's right, when you smile, it's like electrifying. The world truly does, and it will smile with you. It smiles back. It's like looking at a reflection in the mirror. Nobody cannot smile back. I mean, if you smile at somebody and they don't smile back, don't take it personal. They must be having a very bad day. Because chances are, when somebody smiles, they're going to reflect that smile right back onto you. You're going to do it right back, and everybody's going to be happy. The day is going to be great. And that, my friends, would be my thought of the day. Remember to smile. So I was going to call this From Dorm Room to International Podcaster. So let me tell you what happened. I received this phone call from somebody, and they said, hey, would you be interested in being on a panel at American International College during a RA conference? Now, for those of you who don't know what an RA is, I like to explain it, because when I listen to talk shows, my God, a lot of the people talk so fast, I can't even understand what they're saying. So let me slow my words down for you. An RA is a resident assistant. You're like a supervisor on a floor where you supervise all the kids who live there in the dorm and make sure they adhere and follow all of the rules in the rule book. Everybody has like a rule book when you first move into the college. You know, there's no fighting, there's no drugs. If you're underage, there's no alcohol, and you shouldn't be giving alcohol to minors, if that's the case, too. And a whole bunch of other things. I remember when I was back in college, we had single-sex bathrooms. Whether or not anybody really listened to that, because, you know, the bathrooms were on different floors. The boys were on one floor, the girls were on the other. So, I mean, what are you going to do if you have to go bad and that's it? You got to go. And the bathrooms were pretty open, so if anything were to happen in there, everybody would hear the echoes and stuff. Not that I'm saying it's a good thing, it's a bad thing. I'm just saying this is how it was back in the day. So, when I was talking to the person on the phone, they said, would I be interested? And I said, absolutely. I love speaking to people, and I actually love speaking to the seeds of tomorrow, which are the kids in college who are going to be graduating, and they are our future presidents, our future police, our future people in the world who we actually leave the world to. We say, here, we're going to teach you, and when you grow up, you're going to take our spots, and hopefully you'll do a better job than we did. Hopefully. I don't know if that's always the case. But at this conference, many kids attended. It was very packed. And when I got there, let me tell you how the day went. The college is actually probably a 4-minute walk from my house. So, I mean, not that you can see my house, but it's definitely about 10 to 15 houses away down a side street. So it was very convenient. It wasn't like I really had to drive anywhere. And when I got there, I got to know a few of the people who were there in attendance, and I had lunch. And the lunch was pretty good. I got chicken, if you're interested. I had chicken. I had some pork. And I think I had some veggies, a cheeseburger, some tater tots, and, as always, my ginger ale. So I should have went up for seconds, but I didn't, because I was sitting alone. And sometimes it is awkward when everybody's staring at you, although I didn't feel awkward this time. I just sat there and I ate my food and videotaped some stuff that I was doing. So was I nervous being there? I'll probably have to say no. I wasn't nervous, but I was actually preparing for what I was going to say. I had an outline, although many times I don't really follow the outline. Unfortunately, people say you should get an outline and do every line, but that can be hard sometimes. And when I got there, when it was ready for me to go up on stage, I still wasn't nervous. So I'm going to be honest with you. I don't really get nervous like that. I get excited. I'm happy. I'm glad I can be there. But as far as shaking and having convulsions, luckily I don't do that. So I was with a panel of other kids, probably about eight other kids who were RAs. And they asked us questions, and when it started, you know, we all got to know each other. And when it started, the mic was passed around. So here comes the story of what happened to me that day. So I got the mic, and I basically started talking when it was my turn. And it went something like this. My name is Price Van Ray. I'm a author, illustrator, a podcaster, international, all over the world. And I was born here in Springfield, about 10 houses down from here. So I pointed to the window, and they looked. I don't know what they're looking at. They can't really see my house. I chuckled. And I said, and when I was growing up, everybody, listen to this. When I was growing up, I was very poor. That's right, very poor. We lived in a ghetto. Now, yes, this college is, in my opinion, in the heart of the ghetto. And, of course, the college has these steel gates around it for safety of the kids, which is good. But I said, yeah, I grew up very poor here. And I grew up and I was born in 65, so I was growing up in the, you know, in the 70s. I was in, when I went to school, I was in a thing called the MECO program, which today is probably like school choice. But because I went to the suburbs, there weren't a lot of black people in the suburbs at that time. So they bussed us out there, probably, you know, probably about 20 of us, 20 or less. I don't think there was more than 20. And it was a good program. I learned a lot. So I also told everybody, you know, it was a struggle for me growing up, because when I was growing up, I had a learning disability undiagnosed. Now, of course, I was a special ed kid. You know, I needed extra help. But at the time, I don't think the word dyslexia was even in the vocabulary. Nobody would say you're diagnosed dyslexia. Now I'm an adult, so what's the use of getting professionally diagnosed when you know there's something wrong and you know there's stuff was going on, but you deal with it. Because I also told them, for half my life as a child, I didn't speak because I stuttered. I stuttered so bad, nobody could understand me. It was horrible. I mean, when you stutter, you know what you want to say, but it's tough to come out. And it's, you know, you don't want to get advice from everybody else. They'll say stupid stuff. I'm going to be honest with you. Blatantly, when you hear this over again, take your time. Think about what you're going to say. That isn't how it works, my friends. You know what you're going to say, and you are thinking about it, but the words don't want to come out. So when you say that stuff, you don't help somebody stuttering. You just upset them even more. So you learn through the years. I did, at least. I did. I learned how to get around not stuttering, although I will say I probably still stutter, but I have it under control. And it's amazing how somebody like me who stutters can get on the radio or the internet and talk without stuttering during a podcast, and to go to a RA conference and talk in front of a lot of strangers, a lot of kids who didn't know I stuttered. So I said, of course there's difficulties. Everybody has some kind of difficulties in their past. They have some kind of something, because we all have a different path to walk down. We all walk in our own different shoes. And when I grew up, it was a struggle. So I told them, after high school, I went to a community college. And to be honest with you guys, my mom wanted me to take computer programming. Now, in my opinion, you either have that in you or you don't. I was not a computer programmer. That's just not how my mind, my brain is wired. My brain was wired for art, for other things, or TV, like that, watching cartoons, of course. So, of course, after the first semester, guess what happened? I failed out. That's right. I failed out of college, a community college. Now, some people, and they have, when I told them this, they laughed. The first thing they did was laugh. I, you know what, though? I smile. I puff my chest up. I stand tall. And I say, and you know what, dear my friend? I wear it as a badge of honor. And they say, what? I say, yeah, I wear that as a badge of honor. I tell everybody, I failed my first semester. I tell my kids, that's right, I went to college and I failed. I went to college and failed my first semester. But you know what? I didn't quit. That's right, I went back. The school said, you can go back at night the second semester, and if you get your grades up, you can come back to school. Well, my mom gave me a choice. She said, you will either go to school or you will get a job. Getting a job was something I did not want to do. I wanted to be in the comfort of my home, taken care of by my parents, and go to school. So I went back to school. And the next semester, I got B's. And then I switched my major to telecommunications because I was not going to make it in computer science. That was definitely not in the cards, not in my fate, not in my life. So I switched, and I graduated with telecommunications with an associate's. And then I knew I one day I wanted to do animation. That was just a burning desire in my heart. And I also knew I was the kind of person, after hearing these horror stories, when you go to college, you're in this huge auditorium, this almost like gymnasium full of hundreds of kids, and the teachers don't even know your name. I needed to be in an environment that was like high school, something with small classes. So I went to another community college because I knew in the end game was the animation degree. So I went to the community college in the next town to knock off some of the hard courses I thought I would have at the university, like art history, like basic drawing, stuff like that. And I knocked it off, and then I transferred to University of Massachusetts. That's right, University of Massachusetts in Amherst. And while I was there, I switched, like a lot of kids, I switched from major to major, but in the end, I did animation. And while I was there, I became a resident assistant because somebody, the resident director, saw me. I was a little bit older than a lot of the kids, but they saw me and they saw how I interacted with people. They saw that I tried to help. I would do security for the building for pay. And I guess they saw something in me that they said, we'd like you to be a resident assistant. And I said, are you sure? I don't think I'm resident assistant material. And they said, no, we, the woman said, I see you every day. I talk to you. I see how you interact with people. I think you would be good for this job. I think you would do a great job. And I said, well, if you believe in me, I'm going to do it. Which brings us to why we're here. When I got to the heart, the soul, and the guts of the conference. And I told everybody, this is why I'm here. Because I'm here to tell you about my experience, my personal experience as a resident assistant. So they asked me, what was my best experience? And my best experience, I mean, there's a lot of them, but the one I pointed out was how my floor was not really communicating like I thought they should. I wanted to bring my floor closer. So I remember it was around Halloween. I went out to the pumpkin patch and got a bunch of pumpkins, and I brought them back to the floor and woke everybody up and said, hey, this is about 1 o'clock in the morning. Hey, everybody, let's get up and carve some pumpkins. Everybody was so excited. I had some food. I had the pumpkins. We had something to drink, not alcohol, but we had something to drink. And we were up for about an hour carving pumpkins. And I think it brought the floor together. Definitely brought the floor together. That was a great experience. And, you know, we would hang out. We would have lunch and supper together. But I also told them, as an RA, you got to make sure you don't cross the line into buddy-buddy and drinking with the floor, or, you know, you don't want to be smoking marijuana with the floor. That's a no-no, obviously. But you know, you do want to have some great experiences with them. So they, in return, can have some great experiences when they're older and have some great stories to tell. They ask what your worst experience was. Well, my worst experience is failing. My worst experience is coming into a situation, for example, if a student drinks too much, and then you have to call the police, you have to call the ambulance so they can pump their stomach. And it's horrible when you realize the school has to call the kid's parents and tell them, hey, your kid drank too much. And right now they're at the hospital. And we're not sure if he should come back on campus because they're underage and they were drinking. That's a bad experience to feel. And everybody's saying, hey, Price, is there anything you can do? I say, I saved his life. I tried to save his life. It's out of my hands. That's a bad experience. So I talked about that. They asked what a valuable skill was. And I said, a valuable skill is definitely communication, social skills. Think about it. Like I said, I grew up, I stuttered so bad. But to actually have social skills, to talk to people, to make them listen, to listen to them. You have, if you talk, you want somebody to listen, but you have to make sure you are also listening. You have to make sure your ears are open. You're listening to every word they say. It's coming in one ear and it's staying in. It's not going out the other ear. You want to make sure that they know they're being heard, that you are validating what they are saying. Because the worst thing you can do is not listen to somebody when they're coming to you for help. It's horrible. So the talk went on and on. And then they said, do you have any recommendations for a resume? And I said, yeah. I said, college is a great opportunity. There's so many clubs you can join. There's so many things you can do. When I was in college, I was in a fraternity, Alpha Delta Phi. Now, I had to be real selective. There are some fraternities out there that I would not probably join because they just would not be for me. But this one fraternity, they had gotten kicked off campus, and they wanted to come back on campus. And these were a great bunch of guys who I knew. Two of them were resident assistants, and they were great guys. But I also told them, hey, guys, listen, I don't really drink, and I hear stories about these fraternities, all they do is drink. They said, you know, if you don't want to drink, don't drink. We'll have soda for you. And I'm going to tell you right now, when I joined that fraternity, but and every time they had a social, a party, they made sure they told everybody, don't touch this soda. This belongs to Price. Now, as embarrassing as it is, it was heartfelt and warming. I could feel the love that they cared enough to have the soda for me. Now, it's not because of religious purposes. I mean, people ask me, you don't drink? I said, no, not really, because in my family, like a lot of other families, there's alcoholics, and my family's got a lot of them. You know, I've seen a lot. I had an uncle who lived with us temporarily. He was in between, you know, life and down on his luck, and he was an alcoholic. And we ended up having a fire in my mom's house, my parents' house, because he was smoking in bed. And he was drunk and fell asleep. So there's many experiences that I've had with alcoholics that make me say, I don't want to drink. Now, I'm not going to say I don't ever have a glass of wine, because I will. I'm not going to say once a year or twice a year I won't have a bottle of beer, because I'm not really a beer drinker. I don't like the taste. I didn't grow up on beer. But more power to you if you love it. But if I do it, I'll probably have a beer once or twice a year. That's it. That's it. I don't really have a taste for beer. But wine, wine's okay. But like I say, I like ginger ale. I like ginger ale or colas or just soda or to be honest with you, Country Time pink lemonade. I love that. And so, you know, there's a lot of stuff I do like, and, you know, that's just me. So anyways, back here, I ended up telling everybody, you know, in life, you know, you don't want to be afraid of stuff. You definitely don't want to be. You want to take that chance. Life is about taking a chance. Life is about risk. And if you aren't willing to throw yourself out there, if you aren't willing to say, hey, here I am, I'm just going to do this, then you might not get an opportunity like that again. And I'm going to tell you, you must realize an opportunity and take it. So Being an RA was a valuable, in my opinion, a valuable opportunity and experience for me, and it's something that helped me throughout my life. It helped me with my social skills. It helped me to dealing with many people. It helped me definitely, I can't stress the social skills enough because I was not a social person growing up. But it also put me in a leadership role where I could take charge and make some good decisions. And I wasn't afraid to make them. So I graduated UMass, and a lot of people know while I was at UMass, I did an internship at Disney University for studio production, which was awesome. I would advise anybody, if you're in college and they have that college program at Disney, definitely take advantage of it. That is an opportunity I don't think you should miss. It's a life-changing thing, something I think about all the time. It's a great place to work with great people. So after college, I made comic books, drug prevention activity books, did my own. I made children's books. And now I do podcasting. And like I said, I talk to millions of people every day. They can hear me all over the internet, all over the world, in every country. I do Forever Dad, which is what you're listening to, and I do the voices for Pop City Culture. You guys should look it up. It's interesting. I do the voices for these two kids. It has a storyline. These two black kids who grew up in the ghetto, 11 and 13, and they have an underground podcast, and they talk about political things. They talk about sci-fi things, but it's a way for me to get the younger generation interested in things I feel they should be interested in, politics or worldview or issues. It's a way to bridge a gap. And I believe it is because of being an RA that helped me do that. Everything I'm going to tell you, everybody out there, everything is connected in life. You just have to connect the dots. And I'm not going to lie to you. There will be times in your life, you will be at your lowest. You will hit rock bottom. But you got to remember, we have all been there. Every one of us have hit rock bottom at somewhere, sometime in our life, whether it's a job, whether it's a relationship, whether it's kids, whether it's something, a death in a family, we've hit rock bottom. We felt there was no way out, but don't give up. You guys have to believe in yourself, because the bottom line is you are stronger than you think. I'll use me as an example. When I got divorced, I'm not going to tell you everything what happened to it because that's not fair. You got to be fair. You know, you would just be hearing my side of the story. That's not fair if she's not here to say anything, and I don't think she would. But you got to be fair, and I'll just tell you, I was hitting rock bottom. At the time, I was homeless. I was living out of my car. I had no money. I was in debt like you could not believe. My kids were homeless too. They ended up living with my parents. It sucked. But you don't give up. You got to believe in yourself. Because I'm going to tell you, you are stronger than you think. And being an RA, I told everybody, puts you in that situation. You guys are strong. You will make those decisions. You will survive. And it's great in college now. You have a nice little cushion to fall on. But in life, there's no safety nets. When something happens, that's it. You got to own it. But be strong and believe in yourself, and you will prevail. I told them, remember this one last thing. Remember to seize the opportunity, no matter how small. Because opportunities don't come too often. And that is what I had to say to them. And I had a great day. And I hope they enjoyed it. And that being said, I want to thank you all for joining me here today. If you enjoyed the podcast, you can download any of my past podcasts morning, noon, or night and hear it all over the internet. It'd be great if you could hear what I had to say. So that's going to bring us to the end of my show. I want to thank you all for listening today. It's been great. And don't forget to be nice and talk nice to everyone you see. You know why, everybody? Because it's free. You smile, they will smile back. Remember, don't be a jerk. And one last bit of advice. Tomorrow, my friends, is never promised. So don't go to bed angry at your child or anyone you love. And before you go to bed tonight, hug your child and tell them, I will love you forever, Dad. Hey, thanks everyone for joining me here today. Let's do it again. I'll see you next time here on my show. Be well, be kind, be back, peace. And I, my family, friends, and neighbors, and my kids, I will see all of you later. Have a good one.